There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question, kiss my...
So we're going to start a Friday edition of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. Hey, y'all. It's Sean. We're doing that live local talk thing for the next 2 hours. You're invited to be part of the show at 343-0106. 343-0106. Next hour, Jason Johnson from Landnap joins me. A lot to talk about with him. That case from earlier this week, those veterans in the group home. Jason's been digging into this and overall how these group homes work for veterans. We'll talk with him a little after 1 o'clock. Also, in just about 10 minutes or so, Dale Jackson from up in Huntsville at WVNN joins me to talk about President Trump and Twitter and a couple other items, and we'll do that here in just a second. But I want to start off this way, because if you'll check the Facebook page, facebook.com/FMTalk1065, you'll see a graphic here celebrating, announcing, or at least making you aware that it's National Paperclip Day. And the genius behind this, and the newest part of the FM Talk 106.5 family, Leanna Clark, is joining us in studio with more paperclip discussion. This is National Day. Everything's got its own National Day. I would have picked food items and people, but paperclips.
Paperclips.
Where were we without paperclips? I mean, do you think in the old days, papers just were flying around everywhere? You couldn't keep the papers together?
Right. I mean, they couldn't staple, because staples came way later. And so...
So it was paperclips before staples.
Right.
So it is National Paperclip Day. And, a little bit of the history here. So you're pointing that out, that they preceded the staple. It says, according to Early Office Museum... That's a fun place to take the kids.
Yes.
We're going to the Office Museum, kids. Samuel B. Fay received the first patent for the bent wire paperclip in the United States in 1867. The original intention of Fay's clip was to attach tickets to fabric, although U.S. Patent 64,088 recognized it also could be used to attach papers together. And there, at that point, the world changed. It's a lot like fire and the wheel and everything else. But you put this thing up, you got uses other than paper... clipping paper together.
Right. There's
other
several things you can do with it.
Okay, so let's we're going to read some of these from the Facebook page. You can check them out, facebook.com/FMTalk1065. But I'm open to your ideas here on how to use a paperclip as well. You can text us at 343-0106. All right, so what do we got here? What are we using paperclips for? I mean, I saw a fish hook on here.
Yes. I knew you would like that one. That one's why I added that in.
Okay.
But you can also use it to reset electronics. You know when you have that little pinhole?
Yes, yes. But make sure it's that reset thing, not anywhere there's a live plug, because it's metal, y'all, and it conducts. But yes, I have used it for the little reset button. That there's. Mm-hmm. Why is the reset button so small?
I have no idea.
You can't use anything, a paperclip or the end of a pen.
Right.
But okay, so you could use it for that. Mm-hmm. What else you have here? You had unclogging a spray bottle.
Yeah, you know how when you're spraying, like hairspray, I know
you
know that.
Oh, you're looking at me, you know that's big, that's big. So you do that. Flathead screwdriver.
Yeah, I mean, just...
Oh, using the... And now I have to roll it back up into paperclip form. I was thinking about it like unrolled in a...
And then form a...
Gotcha. Okay. Replace a zipper tab.
Right. You know, if you break your zipper tab.
Right.
And
you could do it like an emergency situation. Could you keep it that way? Would that be a...
I doubt you would leave it that way. But, you know, if you find yourself during the day at work...
Right.
...happening...
Without a zipper.
Right.
Then go get a paperclip.
You need a zipper, so...
Vienna has now seen our paperclip collection here, too. Is it fair to say, people listening, could you back me up that we have probably way more paperclips per capita at this radio station than any other broadcast facility you've been at before?
Yes. I was shocked.
Okay. I mean, it weighed in pounds?
Yes, it was shocking.
All right. Just want to make sure that y'all realize that. If I come up with that down the road, I will. I'm not making it up. Oh, yes. Jim and Sims unclogging the pee hole, as we call it, in the outboard motor. It's where the water-cooled engines, where it's coming out. Mm-hmm. Good point, because Jim, like me, probably has dealt with dirt gobblers building nests then in there. Calvin said they're good to clean out one-hitter tobacco pipes. Tobacco pipes, huh? One-hitters, when you just need a little bit of nicotine. Daniel says mechanics use them for jumper wire.
Oh, yeah, I could see that.
You can see it go...
Be careful, yeah. Wear gloves.
You stand back when you do that. And then there's several other suggestions that I would lose our license for, so I'm not going to read those. Check it all out. Front page of our Facebook page. Leanna, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Leanna Clark joining us in studio. And, of course, part of our newest part of our family, the brand newest edition of our family here at FM Talk 106.5. We're very happy to have you. All right, Dale Jackson joins us next right here on Midday Mobile. Stand by.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. And as I mentioned just a second ago, my buddy Dale Jackson from WVNN in Huntsville joining us now. The man who's, at some point, I'm going to go ahead and steal thunder. He will say something about the trash pandas, you know, team that used to be the Bay Bears. All I got to say is, you know, Dale, they're cutting, you know, cutting folks at minor league baseball. So it's y'all's problem now, not ours. So I just want to point that out.
Oh yeah, I think it's a really big problem. Actually, I don't think they're going to have a season at all.
See, that's what happens when you steal our team. This is all caused because the stealing of the Bay Bears to Huntsville.
Oh, we're sorry about that. We'll try to get it going next year, though.
Okay, then we'll pick that back up then. Hey, a lot to talk about. I was mentioned earlier about, number one, what you've been saying on Twitter. Obviously, this is a good format for it, but an article you wrote for Yellowhammer News as well. Talk about President Trump and Twitter and the battle between the two. Kind of lay out the case you did in the Yellowhammer piece, because you kind of pointed fingers at both sides here.
Yeah, I mean, my whole take on this has always been that Donald Trump is ridiculous on Twitter, but so am I. So I understand the game, and I get it, and I'm more appreciative of his than he is of mine, I'm sure. But this whole situation where they choose to go after one man who happens to be the president of the United States, and they target him on political grounds, and that's what they did. Keep in mind, all of this started because he was being hypercritical, and I think a bit hyperbolic, criticizing Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. Mostly Joe Scarborough, about a joke that Scarborough made about killing an intern down in Pensacola. And, mm-hmm. you know, they wanted that removed. Well, Twitter said, we're not going to remove that, but we will go after him on some obscure voting fraud or mail-in vote fraud thing that he referenced. And they went and they said, oh, this isn't true. Now, they got that wrong.
Yes, they did.
There is vote fraud. He's yep. merely voicing an opinion that there will be more of it if we do more mail-in voting, which there will be. I don't think anyone disagrees. So they basically threw down the gauntlet and said, we are going to monitor political speech. Your political speech. President of the United States. Well, that guy happens to have a recourse that most of us don't have. He has the power of the federal government to say, okay, if you're going to play this way, I have the power of the federal government not to punish you or censor you or shut you down, even though he said, I'm going to shut them down. Mm-hmm. I think he's being hyperbolic there as well. He's not going to remove your immunity from lawsuits. So, if someone were to go on the internet and say, I was a Nazi, which has happened.
Yeah, I'll say that.
Say I'm a Nazi. I say to them, that's a defamatory statement. You know that not to be true. Remove it or apologize, or I will sue you. Just like if Kyle Whitmire said I was a Nazi in the newspaper, he knows that's not true. Right. And I can sue him for that. Well, I can also sue the newspaper he works for publishing it. I can't sue Twitter. Twitter has a special rule, and basically if you wrote a defamatory column, and Ted Cruz made this argument today, if you wrote a defamatory column and you published it in a newspaper, you get sued. If you took that exact same column and put it on Twitter, you would get sued. But the newspaper could be sued and Twitter could not. Trump is going to remove or attempt to remove that immunity because they are no longer operating under the guise that they're an open forum where they just remove libelous and defamatory and stuff like that.
But Dale,
they also remove political speech. And now Trump's saying he can't do that anymore.
Okay, but responsibility in this liability just for what comes from Twitter, you know, whether it's Dorsey or somebody working for Dorsey, or if I go on there, if I go on their platform and say Dale Jackson is an uber-Nazi and do that, and they don't take it down, do you believe that they should be liable for that?
Do I think they should be? No. Okay, and
But what if the law changes? Will they be?
If Trump gets
see, and
way.
That's where my rub is with this, because you can't monitor. Lord knows, you know, you can't monitor what you and I do. Both do the same job. Somebody comes on the air and says something that is false right before the end of the hour. We go to the news or something like that, and you know, I don't have time to come back on and shut down whatever you know show is on next to say that that thing that they said was inaccurate. Then am I responsible for that?
I think you have to come back, and the way this works is they would say to you, hey, you have to retract that or have that retracted.
How do I retract that, what somebody else said? Now, if I said it, I get it. If I said it on the show, I completely understand that. But if somebody, and kind of drawing somewhat of a parallel, not perfect, but between, I would say, talk radio to some degree was the original social media, you know, with comment and comment on comment and all that kind of stuff. So if somebody says something, I get the part where, okay, here's Twitter responding in an official capacity. But if there is, I mean, Lord knows the things that are on. I like the fact that Twitter, I mean, you know, I know Ajit Pai was pointing out, we can talk about the violence things, what the Iranians have said. I like to see them unfiltered. I like to see what the Iranians are thinking. I feel better knowing what they're actually thinking. I don't want to get rid of that. You see what I'm saying? I don't want Twitter to be responsible for that.
That's why, the point I was making in my column was that Twitter should back down and stop, and so should Trump. Mm-hmm. So they should just leave it alone the way it is right now. It works pretty well. Everything Trump says is fact-checked a billion different ways. You don't need to stop him from saying it or keep me from seeing it. If somebody wants to complain about it, there are a billion different mediums to do so, and they do. And for a country that is almost a dictatorship, there sure is a lot of people sitting on comfy desks in New York City broadcasting to millions telling us how terrible our president is. So if they want to get at the president, they can. It's very easy for them to do so. So with this idea that he needs to be silenced and stopped from saying something, it's just ridiculous.
I don't claim to be an expert in it. Just what I've read so far, it looks like pragmatically this executive action is not going to go any further. It would be have to a lot of wheels to turn to change that law. But you know, idealistically, I'm saying, hey, I don't want to get in a world of I'd rather all opinions be out there, you know, and check them for myself. Because once we start down that road, man, you know, where do you stop?
Classically, liberals used to be exactly the same, but Donald Trump has changed them and broke them, and that's basically what's happened here. He has got them to the point where they can't even understand that someone might have a different point of view than them, and anyone that might has to basically be silent, and that is just nuts. And you operate a talk radio station, and you understand that that's not right, and I understand that's not right. Yet we sit here today, and there are plenty of people that would in a second silence the people they disagree with for no other reason other than the fact that they could. And that's exactly where we're sitting right now dealing with this issue. And I think there is a lot of real dangerous rhetoric and talk here where we could go down a very scary path. And it's not coming from Donald Trump. Donald Trump's laying it out there very clear. Let me be and everything will be fine. Try to silence me and I'm going to come after you.
I mean, can you think about the disservice? You know, they've called for removing, you know, list them, removing Donald Trump from Twitter. Why would you want, as a citizen, let alone if somebody it was opposed to Donald Trump, why would you want to not have a conduit to what he's thinking? It seems like it's strategically just dumb.
They believe that if his voice is heard and people hear what he says, there are people that will agree with him. So they have to stop him from being heard. I hate it. I hate that it's like so incredibly simple, but it really is. It really is so incredibly simple that is it. They have to stop his voice from even being heard, because if it is heard, people will agree with him. And if people agree with him, they will lose. And that just sounds completely insane to me. But that's where they are, and they want to live in this world where the arbiters of truth are on cable news and nowhere else. And if you are anyone who's even remotely disagreeable with them, well, sorry, you're in a bad, bad situation, because they want to shut you down. And that's basically, I mean, we've seen it with the Fairness Doctrine talk that we've heard a lot of. I mean, there's just a lot of different avenues that the American media has used to try to silence each other. And that's why it's also kind of confusing to hear people talking about, you know, oh, it's a private company, it can do what it wants. Please. Since when have American liberals not been all about shutting people down that they disagree with, getting people fired for having the wrong opinions? I mean, come on. It's just so unbelievable that these are the positions they're pretending to hold. And I say pretending because there's no way they actually hold these.
Yeah, positions. But I want to know, you know, what I want to know is that there's still folks out there saying what you're saying and what I'm saying. On the conservative side, too, you know, just they'll say, well, they want to shut it down, so we should shut it down, too. I mean, it's dumb thinking, man. Long term.
Yeah,
that
makes no sense.
And by the way, too, let's put on our business hats for a second. And not that there's, I don't know if Twitter's made a profit still, but if you're Twitter, you're Dorsey in that. Why do you want to take away one of your stars? Why do you want to? I mean, you have 80 million followers for President Trump. Why would you want to take away that traffic? Why would you want to censor that? I mean, let's just put on the business side. Let everybody in. Get all the attention possible.
Well, I think part of it is I think they've lost out on a lot of money, because what happens is anything Donald Trump says, they want it silenced and censored, including ads he's put out. So they've just opted out of ads completely. So that's cost them a lot of money. And I think that they view Trump as kind of responsible for that when they say that, you know, political ads aren't available and things like that. And just to kind of get at Trump, look, they're going to make a ton of money regardless. They've got this locked down. I mean, but if Trump is successful here, and I think they made his argument today, now they're reading his mind and saying that...
Yeah, tell people about that, because you were... What your take on that's good.
So, in Minnesota, he made a comment at the end of it. He said, when the looting starts, the shooting starts.
Right.
Which, again, if that's the case, the shooting should have started like 3 days ago.
Right.
But apparently that line was used by a mayor of the police, or the chief of the police, in Miami, Florida, in 1967. Do I think Donald Trump knows that? I would say probably not. But it was used to talk about looters and things like that. And they said because of that, the historical context, it glorifies violence. And it just sounds so crazy. But now we're reading his mind. And I would think that if this does go to court and talk about their ability to monitor their website and their ability to limit people and keep immunity, well, what's your reasoning here? Oh, we read his mind. He was referencing a 1967... a police chief or some nonsense. It sounds like they are again in the business of editorializing, not it being a forum. And this is the equivalent here that we've heard is the equivalent to the phone companies. We're having a phone call right now. If I threaten somebody and said something terrible about the president, like I was going to do something to him, the phone company is not responsible for the fact that I did that. They provided the mechanism. They're not responsible for what happened. They don't get in and arbitrate whether or not I'm allowed to say that or should say that or cut me off or any of that. So therefore, they're not responsible. But if they start stopping some people from saying some things and then allowing others to say others, then they become responsible. It's the exact same thing. It's just a mess.
Which, by the way, on the glorifying violence thing, if I'm going to put myself in some fancy loafers, some fancy New York journalist loafers here for a second, wouldn't any time the president talks about anything military, you know, whatever president it would be, goes on social media platform and says, we're going to, you know, defend ourselves against Iran, and if they strike us, we're going to strike them harder, and we're going to do that. What's that?
You don't got to go that far. Look at Roy Johnson of AL.com today. He wrote a piece that says, this is what happened when you put your knee on my neck for so long. Saying that, like, hey, this riot's completely acceptable and understandable. Not glorifying violence. Saying it's a pushback. I mean, does he got to be shut down? Is AL.com glorifying violence with columns like that? I would never make that argument. That's stupid. But if this is the stretch we're going to make, and by the way, liberals need to understand this. It ain't no fun when the rabbit's got the gun. And right now, they're learning that. They wanted to give so much power to Barack Obama. And conservatives are doing the same thing, by the way.
Yep.
They want to give so much power to their guys that they don't remember or realize that eventually their guys will not be in charge. And when their guys aren't in charge, they're not going to like when the other side starts using those weapons.
I keep trying to remind people of that, and they're yawning at me. So, but maybe eventually it'll get through. Dale, people want to find you on Twitter and get involved in the fray, or at least watch from the sidelines. How do they do that?
At the Dale Jackson. That's the simplest way to get me. I will respond to any petty insult out there. So I will fight with anybody.
And I would suggest y'all start off with the fact that his logo there has a mask on it. So I think he is mask shaming, because my logo does not have a mask on it. And I believe you're shaming me over that mask. So
have you ever worn a mask yet?
I have, yes. Yes, I have. And I had, you know, I had them around because doing fiberglass work and sand and stuff. And, you know, I did it. But now, you know, as of today, with the whatever the latest, you know, tome is from the WHO, now because I'm not sick, I'm not supposed to wear a mask. You know, is there one in my truck out there? Yes, there is. Do I wear it everywhere? No, I don't. How about you?
I wear it when I go into a big box store, and that's about it.
That's where I do. And I do it mostly so I can just make faces at people. And without, you know, them seeing.
Yeah, no, the other day I was walking through the mall and this girl went by and I was like, damn. And they are, and I was like, oh, good. I'm glad that wasn't seen, you know.
Dale, as always, man, I appreciate it. And, of course, you check his show out on WVNN in Huntsville and WVNN.com. Have a good weekend, man.
Hey, don't forget Alabama politics this week.
Yeah, that's coming up tomorrow, y'all. Check it out. And it is 30 minutes of – what's your elevator speech on that? If somebody's not heard the show yet, 30 minutes of what?
It's a little back and forth. I have a liberal with me. She's a member of the Alabama Democratic Executive Committee. We talk about a couple stories in the news. We have a guest on this week. It's Jeff Sessions. And then I close with a party shot. It's a lot of fun. Check it out.
All right, y'all. Check that out. 11:30 tomorrow right here at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks, Dale.
Thank you, sir.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:36, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Friday style. Y'all say hello to Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Hey, Angelo.
Hey, everybody.
There you go. See? Works that way. It is a lot to talk about here, but I know we were talking about precious metal prices yesterday, but I want to pick your brain for a second. When it comes to gifts and, hey, precious metal gifts, what do you have in stock right now? What can you get, like, thought starters for people that go, oh, my gosh, I haven't gotten somebody a graduation gift, or I've got a special birthday coming up. What do you got?
Well, we have lots of different options. We start off a lot of times with the 2020 American Silver Eagle. That's sort of a good classic standby staple item for people looking for gifts. We also have those engravable 1-ounce silver rounds and bars, everything from branches of the military to the police, fire and rescue, just simple love and religious themes and messages. And most of those are engravable, customizable on the back, which is nice because that tells that person you actually thought about it more than 5 minutes ahead of time.
Correct. I mean, it's a magnifier for the gift. I mean, we've seen that.
We have. And one of the other things that I think is really nice about it is they get to show that off to other people. They tend to keep those, a lot of times keep them as a lucky pocket piece, because it is something very personalized. It's an ounce of silver. It has a special message to them. And if you want to go above and beyond that, we have 10-ounce silver bars. Just got a few of those 10-ounce COVID silver bars back in stock. We've got gold. Of course, we've got, you're my favorite, the open-out pocket knives. And then, of course, thousands of different pieces of jewelry right now.
All right. Give people directions to come see y'all.
Yeah, we're in Midtown at 2204 Government Street. Of course, if you want to browse from the safety of home, you can go to mobilebaycoins.com, click on that shop button, and then click on the link to our eBay store. Or if you want to check out pictures of some of the cool stuff, go on to Facebook or Instagram and like and follow us there.
Hey, thanks, Angelo.
Have a good one, Sean.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins at Fine Jewelry. Leaves a phone line open for you at 343-0106. 343-0106. And a couple of texts here. Way more text also coming in still on paperclip uses. And thank you, Leanna, who's put that on our Facebook page. Today is National Paperclip Day. A little bit of other uses for paperclips. You can post up the thing other than holding paper together that you use them for. Ben, I want to read yours, but then we just got done talking about liability there, right? I'm scared if I say, if I read Ben's text here about using a paperclip for something that's not holding paper together, then am I going to be liable? Oh, the heck with it. So Ben says, how to create a giant spark using a paperclip. Bend it into a U-shape and insert it into an electrical outlet. Ben, I feel this is a trick. Then he goes on to say, no, don't hold it. Instead, give it a flick with your fingers. You've just created a giant spark using a paperclip. I did this once during class in high school. I guess you're beyond the statute of limitations now. You'll be all right. I don't think they're going to come. I don't know if they're going to come for you or not on that. All right, and coming up next hour, by the way, Jason Johnson's going to join us, and so much going on this week. It's a story that we were talking about early in the week, but I'll make sure it's not forgotten, and the situation with the group home, the veterans in the group home. Actually, there's an update on that. WKRG had posted up that the one victim in the group home elderly abuse case has tested positive for COVID-19. I guess it's just another part of that story there. But we're going to get into a discussion of the specific group home issue and then how this works, because Jason's done a deep dive into that. So, and it's not a one-off situation, I guess, and there's some education to be done here. So we're going to get into that. All right, so let's talk about Minnesota. Let's talk about Minneapolis going on right now. As I'm watching live feed video, there's police department. They are backed up by the National Guard. I think 500 National Guard, Minnesota National Guard there as well. There were about an hour and a half worth of presser earlier where different representatives from the mayor's level to the governor's level to public safety director were they talked about a bunch, but one of the things they said is they're not going to permit the rioting and looting. Like they're not going to happen again tonight. So we'll see if that's enough of it. You would think that would have been the story last night as well. But they said that is not going to happen. Let's get a clip here. Here's Governor Tim Walz from that presser earlier talking about restoring order in Minneapolis.
We have to restore order to our society before we can start addressing the issues, before we turn back.
And and Dalton was just saying as he walked in here that the officers and Dalton, do you have the rest of that? I think I saw that. Where did it come up? I've got, as always, I have like 5,000 tabs open here, and you just got me out of my order on tabs.
I'm sorry. Sorry to jump in on that, but yeah, they are announcing that the former officer Derek Chauvin is in custody in relation to that death.
Yeah, but they said they were going to go look at that officer and the others that were there. And that's another question I have. There's Chauvin that is the officer that has his knee on the neck. Then his, I guess, the partner that's standing there in that video shot right nearby. Those make sense. I don't know when they start saying all the other officers, because there were a bunch of officers in that area.
Mm-hmm.
How, you have to, what's the culpability of an officer that was half a block down or something, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
To know, I mean, if they, I'm just asking this, this is not rhetorical, it's just a real question. If they look down there and say, oh, they got the person in custody, and you're half a block down, yeah, because there are people saying, well, all the officers are going to be, how do you know how much that officer knew what was going on down there?
Yeah, and in the video, I think you see what, at least one other officer
right,
was kind of standing in the way there.
Yes.
And even trying to block the cameras at one point, it seemed. I think I saw another officer in that video. How were they under that other officer's command? Because if so, then they don't really have, the option to tell him what to or to not do. But as far as the arrest of that officer who was seen on the video, sitting there on top of Floyd, they do not have the information about the charges right now, but only that he's been taken into custody.
Yeah, will that make a difference tonight? I mean, here for another night of rioting and looting. I don't know. I mean, they've got you got everybody saying that it's not going to be tolerated. You have reinforcements from the National Guard there as well. I mean, they burned down, like, we talk about the police precinct, but the number of people, businesses that had nothing to do with this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and this sounds like the same discussion we've had for riots and looting in the past, but there are people that have their businesses burned and looted that had nothing to do right. with this. And another night of this coming, I don't know how there continues to be support for that.
Yeah, local business owners who employ local people, I'm sure. And I think we've all seen the pictures at least, but the video of it was an AutoZone on Wednesday night that was lit on fire. And you had a, I think, was it a Wendy's last night? I saw one person making an excuse for why Target was targeted. No pun intended right. there. But why they went towards Target that first night and then again yesterday. They said, if you're not from Minnesota, you wouldn't understand. Target is a Minnesota-based company,
yeah.
and that these people were lashing out specifically at Target because it's a Minneapolis company.
How does that make them culpable for what?
Yeah, it makes no sense to me because it wasn't Target that was that killed this guy. It wasn't AutoZone. It wasn't Wendy's. And then they're also, you know, destroying that complex that they were building.
Yeah, listen to this. So this was one of the things that was destroyed, if I get the story here. $30 million affordable housing project in Minneapolis. So this is from one of the local publications there in Minneapolis. It says, St. Paul-based developer Wellington Management woke up Thursday morning to find its under-construction 190-unit apartment project in the Minnehaha Commons redevelopment near the intersection of Lake Street and Minnehaha Avenue in South Minneapolis had been torched and burned to the ground. Six-story, 190-unit affordable housing project had been slated to open in the spring of 2021. A City of Minneapolis worksheet on the project listed the total development cost at approximately $37 million, including contingency and reserve funds. Land and construction costs were about $30 million. The apartment project has been known as Midtown Corner. So that was burned down as well.
Unbelievable. Do you think, and I think the argument that a lot of people are making on behalf of the protesters, or the rioters, not protesters, we need to,
yep.
you know, because there were peaceful protests actually that happened yesterday.
Absolutely. And I wonder if those protests over what happened to George Floyd are getting, I don't wonder, they're getting overshadowed by this.
Yeah, but do you think there would be as much media attention and attention from everyone if these didn't turn into riots like they have, where if not one building was burned down,
right.
or any place was looted, I feel like this would still be getting. I think
there's truth to the fact that it wouldn't get as much attention, but the story, the nature of that story, I think it would not be glossed over.
No, I agree completely, man. But I do think that it's probably taking it down an avenue of debate that people who truly want to protest this death and how it happened, I think that this is adding a lot of extra noise to it that probably doesn't help the cause.
But I could turn around and argue that they're separate, because the justice shouldn't take into account, you know, when looking at the guilt or innocence of this police officer, former police officer now, whether people looted and rioted should have no bearing on the guilt or innocence of that police officer.
Yeah, no doubt.
So you can see it the other way too. You could say, oh well, it's really affecting the cause. Actually probably shouldn't. If the wheels of justice are working properly, it should make no difference.
Right.
It's either guilt or innocence in that individual case. But now there's going to be a bunch of other people that are hauled to jail. And listen, the folks in Minneapolis who have seemed to be it seemed to be not the first night, not reacting quickly enough, maybe the second night. At least the press conference today, they were balanced. They said they understood the grief and the anger of the protesters, but they said the rioting, looting will not be tolerated. So that's going to be interesting to me if that is challenged, if people come out to do it again. If you say it will not, how heavy-handed do you go with that? And that's one of the things that hopefully we won't have to find out tonight. All right, coming right back, we'll grab some calls on this and some texts coming in as well. But, yeah, I'd love to talk to you on a Friday. 343-0106, 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1252, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Go to the phones, and Walter in Foley up first. Hey, Walter.
I don't want to talk. Hey, one stupid
out of control cop gives every one of them a bad name, which is terrible. I mean, I hope they hang him. But anyway, what percentage of black on black crime never gets? What percentage of that black on black killing each other? Nobody ever protests that. Why not?
You know, I wonder. I'm not here to answer for anybody other than myself, so I can do that.
It's all terrible. It's all terrible.
Right. I mean, right. I think one of the issues here, they'll say it's because of law enforcement, right? And that is the spear point of the rule of law, and that you have to be able to trust. And I get that too. You have to be able to trust law enforcement. I teach my kids, I say, you know, officer, I ask you this, you say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, you do what they say. I have to have faith in the system that responsibility we give them is warranted. And I do. I believe the people I know, the interactions I have, I believe it is warranted. But you see a case like this, that individual officer does, I think, hurt all other officers out there when people see that.
He's been cited, you know, 20-something or 15 times. Why?
I saw that.
I mean, he's a bad egg.
Walter, I saw that same thing. That is a question. I'm glad you brought that up. I saw that yesterday. I'm like, this guy has a track record. I mean, and the city of Minneapolis Police Department still had him on. I mean, maybe there's something that you and I don't understand, but I thought the same thing, Walter. I said, why is he still on the force?
Let me ask you this. It's all terrible. Killing is terrible. But, I mean, wasn't it just a couple in Mobile that was slain by a little black guy? None of that ever gets on the news. It's all, you know, and that's terrible, too. I mean, why not?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what case exactly, but I mean,
There was one in Mobile not too long ago where there was an older white couple that somebody came in and they were happened to be white, and I think the guy who came in to kill him happened to be black. I mean, it's terrible no matter what.
Yeah, and I would hope that we would report things the way they happened, right? Facts. It doesn't matter whose skin color it is. If somebody kills somebody, they kill somebody. We report the story and say that happened because that's true. I'm with you on that. I don't know. I mean, I don't know the particular case you're talking about, but I will Google that and try to see if I've missed something on that.
Well, I thought it was. It might have been white on white. It doesn't really matter. They're dead, and it's all terrible, but. You know, it just seems like, you know, some stupid-ass white cop does this, and, you know, every one of them are bad. That's not true.
That, well said. I agree. And I imagine more than anybody, any group, other folks in law enforcement today are feeling like you are. They're going, oh, my gosh, this thing happens, and now unfairly, prejudicially, all officers are judged that way. Somebody had asked on the, and I appreciate the call. Thank you, Walter. Somebody had asked on the text line here, and I'm not get the exact, there's a lot of text coming in, but somebody had asked something to the effect of why the other police officers, they had heard the other police officers were being charged with murder. I heard that, but that has not happened yet, but that's what I was talking about earlier, was the responsibility. Now, I think somebody on the text line also, Dalton, had questioned, you know, what would be the responsibility of the officer if they saw, even if it's a commanding officer doing something like that, to stop him. I believe they could have a responsibility and a defensible responsibility to do that. But I'm talking about the officers, if they were, there's all this stuff going on down there at the protest, and you were half a block down, and you saw that, okay, they've detained somebody, but I'm going to stay here. I was not there. But if you're not standing right there and seeing what's happening and listening to, you know, George Floyd saying he can't breathe, I don't know how you hold those officers responsible. I don't. Let's go to Thomas in Theodore, wants to talk Target. Hey, Thomas.
Good afternoon, Sean. I'll follow up a little bit. My wife was saying it from her view. She said the other three were helping hold him down while the guy was kneeling. The other three were holding him down and saying, get in the car. That's what somebody said. No?
No, I don't know if they said get in, but there was one officer that had the knee on the back of Floyd, who was handcuffed.
None of the officers were touching him.
Not in the video I saw. See, and okay. So outside that video, I don't know what happened. I'm still, you know, I know everybody... out there sees a clip and then knows, you know, oh, I know the full context. I don't know. But I know in the clip that I saw, I know what I saw. That's all I have to work off of.
As far as Target goes, the farmers have been dumping milk because they can't sell it on the market, the schools and restaurants, whatever. And so they're giving it away free. And apparently Target wasn't giving that neighborhood the milk. And those the people were upset about that.
Really?
It was over the milk, yeah. And that the guy that was doing the kneeling, he had be reported between 19 and 40 times.
What is the actual number?
Against him.
Dalton, I appreciate the call, Thomas, up against the end of the hour. Dalton, let's get the actual number, because I see 12, I see 9 complaints. We've got 40 complaints, Thomas is saying. Let's get some facts. Let's get it. But yeah, I mean, it's of question. 12:58. We'll be right back. Jason Johnson from Land App joins us coming up.